Hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
Kristen McHenry.
And how old are you?
I'm 35.
You have to think about it?
I had to think about it.
So, how did we meet?
We met when I moved back from San Francisco State. I used to go into Juice Club, and you used to work there, and I would go in there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you never gave me any discounts or anything, but I always thought you were really cute. And so when Megan started working there, I told her that I thought you were cute, and she gave you my phone number, I think. Is that right?
I like to hear it from your point of view.
Okay. So I think she gave you my phone number, and then you went right home after you got the number, and you called me the same day. There was none of that, you know, waiting 2 days or anything like that. You called me right away, and we went on our first date very shortly after that. Is that about how you remember it?
That is about how I remember it. I remember it from my point of view, which is this redhead girl keeps coming in, and oh my God, she's just gorgeous, and I have to know her, and she laughs at my dumb jokes. I know there was another guy that worked there that you thought was cute, too.
Yeah, but you told me later he didn't have many teeth, and so thinking back, that was pretty silly, but I didn't know that at the time.
So my proper dental health perhaps saved our relationship?
Yes, they definitely gave you an in.
So we've been married for 15 years and 5 months or something.
Yep.
And it's mostly been easy from my side.
I would agree.
But I feel like we have a little bit of difficulty sometimes.
Yeah.
But I like that we always are able to communicate really well, and we don't keep any secrets, and we don't hide anything from each other.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people don't understand that. Like, I have a coworker, and you remember the first time you met her, she said to you something about, like, you know, he tells girls, you know, or he tells me that girls are gorgeous, and you said something like, well, are they? Because, like, people get so uptight because they hide things.
Right.
And I think that's why it started. I always admire Rob Campbell and how he was with Jenny, the way they were so honest about things. Mm-hmm. And they've had a long, successful relationship. And I think that's worked for us, is to always just tell each other the other what we're thinking, no matter what.
Right. I mean, I don't know how else you'd be in a relationship if you weren't gonna say what you're thinking, or, you know, if you're trying to lie about things. I don't know how you're gonna sustain that.
So we started dating, and you were really young, and I was pretty young, but was it weird for you to go into a relationship where somebody was so honest with you like that? I mean, I know we developed it. We got better about it, but
I don't think so, but, I mean, I didn't have that much experience. So, you know, you were really my first real relationship.
We got along really well right off the bat. And we've never had a huge fight. We've had, like, some tensions or stresses, but I can't remember. I mean, we'd never have any kind of physical violence, obviously, but we've never had any kind of, like,
I think maybe we've had one big fight.
Yeah.
But I think it's more, I don't even remember what it was about, really, but, I mean, I only have, like, one bad memory of us fighting, but,
yeah.
But I mean, obviously, we got over it. It wasn't,
well, it was worth it for us to save what obviously works really well, a great relationship, you know.
Yeah, I think we're able to avoid big blowouts like that because we do talk to each other all the time. And I feel like a lot of times those types of fights happen because people kind of keep things in.
Yeah. Well, the thing I feel like we stress about the most is money.
Well, yeah.
And, I mean, I think we're learning how to adjust, you know, because we're not completely broke or anything by any means. We just have made some bad choices in the past with how we spend our money.
I don't even think that we're that broke, but I think that we choose to spend our money on other things, and so when something comes along that we want to do, it's like that money's already been spent doing something else fun that we wanted to do.
Yeah. So, why do you love me?
Oh, jeez. That's a very complicated question.
Okay. Why did you fall in love with me?
I think...
What was the first thing, and what was the second? And...
Well, obviously, you're very cute. And that's what attracted to me.
Yeah, I get that all the time.
Yeah, that's what attracted me to you. And you were kind, and you were funny. And you always continue to always make me laugh. You're very respectful of me and very complimentary. You tell it how it... You say how it is. You don't ever sugarcoat things, which is good and bad, but for the most part, it's pretty good. You're super smart. I don't know, you're just... perfect package.
Well,
creative.
What do you hate about me? What would you change about me?
You sometimes anger quickly, and I think that's just because of how you were brought up and your environment.
I think, you know what, I think, sometimes that's because I'm, you know, in a lot of pain, and then when I get stress on top of the pain.
Right. And it has changed over the past couple years since you've had the headaches. And
right.
That definitely contributes to it.
And I'm trying to be aware of it.
Yeah.
Well, go on.
Well, there's not very many things that I don't like about you or that I would change. That's probably the biggest one.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could change that, too, because I like when I'm, you know, happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, why did you fall in love with me?
Oh, my God. That's easy. Just because you're hot, that's all. No, you're... Yes, you are the most beautiful woman in the whole world. That's pretty cool. I like that about you. But you are so smart and so funny and... Your humor is so unusual, and I like that I feel like I can get most people to laugh, and I feel like I have to work to get you to laugh sometimes, but when you do, it's so worth it. It's so great, because then I know, like, okay, I really am onto something here. But yeah, I mean, I knew right away with you that you were somebody that I needed to be around all the time. And I get that sometimes with friends, but I never had it as strong as I had it with you. And it's still there. It still burns in my heart. Like, when I see you, I'm like, oh, yeah. And the greatest thing, I mean, and this is back to your looks, which sucks. That's what I'm bringing up. But the greatest thing is, like, we'll be shopping, and I'll turn around the corner, and I'll be looking, and I'll be like, oh, look at that caboose. And it's yours. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. But you're so, we just work together, you know. I don't believe in soulmates, but if I did believe in it, you would be the one, obviously, because we are in love so much. But I don't feel like there's only one person for anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that? Like, there in the whole world, and there's a bazillion people, or, you know, that's mathematic. I did that math in my head.
Yeah.
There's a bazillion people.
Yeah.
I mean, there can't be just one person.
Probably not, but I mean...
But we work so well.
Why? Looking after you found one.
Yeah. Well, I still, you know...
I know, you still look.
Looking, but not... It's like a museum. Like,
yeah.
I don't go past the velvet rope. All right, we're going to take a break.
Okay. And
I wish this podcast was sponsored by the place we're going, Michael's, because we need art supplies.
Yeah, we spend a lot of money here.
Sponsor us. Okay, bye. Okay, so we were talking about why I love you.
Yes.
And I covered the hot, the smart, the funny. Well, they're interesting because you and I have, like, completely different interests.
Right.
And that's fascinating because, you know, a lot of people say, a lot of people get to the point where they're so into what they think that they don't want to hear other people's viewpoint, I feel like. You know, and I think the most interesting thing is, you know, completely different interests and completely different viewpoints.
Right.
I mean, we do share. We both like to watch TV and, you know, there's a lot of things we do love to do.
Yeah.
But, so your major in college was criminal justice, which is not something I know a whole lot about.
Right.
And how did you, what got you interested in that?
I don't know. And I've thought about that a lot. My parents don't know what it is either. But they love telling the story about how when I was little and we would drive to Lompoc to visit Grammy's and Granddaddy, how we would drive by Soledad and Salinas prisons, and I would always ask, you know, what level is that? And, I mean, I don't think normal kids ask that. So ever since I was little, I've always wanted to work in the justice system or have something to do with criminal justice. So it's just interesting to me.
So I'm going to ask you questions as though I'm a reporter, because obviously I know the answers, but wow, there's a big accident on the other side of the freeway. Sad. Okay, anyway, I'm going to ask you questions as though I'm a reporter, because I know the answers, but I want you to say it, and I want people to hear it.
Okay.
So, so you went to college at San Francisco State University.
For one semester, yes.
And what was your major there?
I think it was international relations at that time. I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
And when did you figure out that you wanted to do criminal justice?
I think as a major when I got to West Valley, which is the next school that I went to.
And that's in San Jose.
Right. That's when I started taking administration of justice classes. And that's where I went on my first prison tour. So that really kind of solidified it.
Okay. And so from West Valley, we went to San Luis Obispo area. We lived in Grover Beach.
Right.
And then you went to Cuesta College, Community College, and then we decided to move to San Diego.
Right.
Do you remember anything really that you want to say about the Central Coast?
No, I don't think so. Cuesta was a really good school, but nothing that interesting about that area, really.
It's very nice, but it's very boring.
If we wanted to have kids, I think we'd move back there.
I agree. Well, and remind me to ask why we don't want to have kids. So, anyways, where I was going with that was, okay, so you graduated college, and then right away out of college, did you get a job doing something within your major?
Yes. Throughout college, I worked two part-time jobs, and they were just, you know, bookkeeping jobs. And then when I graduated, I interviewed at Family Foundations, and that was a women's prison. It was community correctional facility, and women could have their kids there. So I interviewed there, and I got that job, and that was, you know, basically my first real job.
What was your job? What did your job consist of there, and how were interactions?
My official title was bookkeeper, so I was the representative for the women to get cash aid and food stamps for their kids. So I'd have to go down to the welfare office with them, sign them up. I would do shopping for them. I would take them to Walmart for their kids.
These are, when you say them,
the inmates / clients. So they're nonviolent criminals, you know, fraud, forgery, that kind of stuff. Drugs.
Talk a little louder if you can.
Okay. Well, it's hard because
okay.
I'm driving.
Well, I don't know if I actually need you to talk louder.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. This microphone's good. Sorry. Okay. So go on about them.
So they would, you know, I would take them to Walmart when they were eligible, and I had to do room searches, look for contraband.
And that was kind of exciting.
That was, yeah, I loved that part of it. I was always very respectful, and a lot of the other counselors would just go in and completely toss their rooms and, you know, pull everything out of their drawers. And
did they do just, that as a tactic?
I think so, but I think also they were a little bit lazy. And, you know, I would take everything out of the drawers and I would shake it out and then I would put it back. I wouldn't fold it or anything, but,
because,
you know,
this is where people live.
Right. Yeah, and they have their kids, and so their kids understand that their moms are in, you know, a place where they can't leave. It's locked, and, you know, they have to do count every hour, and it's different, I think, than what they were used to, but...
is it heartbreaking, kind of?
Well, yes and no. I mean, most of the kids that we had were babies, but we had some that were school-aged. They could be up to six. So those are the ones that... You know, they knew what was going on because they would get to go home on the weekends sometimes and spend time with their other families. And
yeah,
they would see that, you know, their things aren't the same. But I think overall that they were very happy to be with their moms. And I think that was an important part of the program.
So what was your job after that?
After that, I applied to work at the county while I worked there. I think, no, it was right after when I got laid off. That's when I applied for the county. And so when I finally got a job at the county, I was the administrative secretary for the hospital administrator at the psych hospital.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really do anything that exciting there, but it was a psych hospital, so...
So there were events, I remember.
Yeah, they had events. Do you remember what code it was? Was it code blue or code... I don't know. They had something over the loudspeaker they would call, and that meant that it was a psychiatric emergency. And when that happened, everybody would just completely, you know, drop whatever they were doing and leave. I mean, not me, because I don't know anything about dealing with those situations, but...
But you were never in danger there.
No. I didn't really like walking around the units by myself, but it was... That was silly because, I mean, they wouldn't do anything. It was just, I think when I first started, it was more...
You have certain expectations.
Right. I was nervous because I didn't know what to expect.
So, for the most part, there was not much happening when you were there.
No, I mean, I never saw any of the action, you know, quote unquote.
Except for the person throwing rocks in the waiting room.
Yeah, that was... I don't really even remember that as well as you do, probably, but people that would come into the walk-in center that were truly having, you know, psychiatric emergencies, they were always the most interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so from the psych hospital, where did you go?
I went to the sheriff's department, and I hated that, and I did invoice processing and stuff like that, nothing cool. I worked in an office, and then... from the day I started working there, I just knew I wanted to get out. So when the job that I have now opened up and I saw that it was available, I put in to apply for it, and I eventually got it. So that's when I started working for Alcohol and Drug Services.
And what's your title? And explain what it is that you do.
My title is Alcohol and Drug Program Specialist. Basically, what I do is I am responsible for all of the adult alcohol and drug residential programs in the county.
Responsible how?
I'm going to go into that. And so the county doesn't do any direct service, meaning when somebody goes to a residential program, there aren't county staff that run the program. Mm-hmm. It's all contractors. So I administer the contracts, and I... go out on site visits and make sure that the program is running according to their policies and procedures, and, you know, they're within their contractual obligations. Like, I mean, simple things like they have to have carbon monoxide filters, it has to be a certain temperature,
the climate in the
facility, yeah. You know, they have to have there's weird things in the contract, like there's Trafficking Victims Act of 2000, and that's some legislation that happened, and nobody even really knows what it is, but they're required to know what that is and have some plan.
Wait. Nobody knows what it is, but they're required to know what it is?
Yeah, well...
That doesn't sound right.
We've never had any experience with having somebody that was a victim of human trafficking.
Okay.
But there was a...
It doesn't cross your department.
It doesn't... It's never happened in any of our programs, thankfully. But our providers are responsible for knowing what they would need to do if they had somebody that was a victim
so
of that.
Policies are established. That's
policies are established. So, I mean, there's some interesting ones like that. And our site visit tools are 18 pages long, full of questions that they need to be able to answer and they need to have documentation for.
And so I know this about you. I know you take your work very seriously and you're very dedicated. You're a hard worker. And your work always seems to acknowledge you for it. Do you agree?
Yes, for the most part.
They tend to treat you great, right?
Yeah.
So
my boss is really good, and he's very fair, and he respects my abilities, and he, you know, asks me for my opinion on things because I have actual program experience. And there's only one other person that I work with that has actual program experience, so that's very valuable.
Yeah. And that's because you worked in the women's prison and you know how to do the specimen collection and all that shakedown stuff.
Yeah, so I did work in a residential facility, so, you know, I know how it's going on the other side.
Yeah. Is that a sneeze or a cough?
That was a cough.
Okay, I'm not going to bless you.
That's fine.
Do you make suggestions, and do they follow through, or are there suggestions that you, or are there things that you wish you could change that you don't have enough sway to change?
They do take my suggestions. I mean, we had a program last year that was, they had a lot of people die, they had a lot of overdose deaths, and so my boss and I had to come up with suggestions and ways that we could curb that, you know, so we had to think about overdose prevention strategies, and the program should have been doing that, but we had to step in and come up with ideas, like, you know, before somebody goes out on a pass, we recommended that there be a counselor there that signed them out, and they gave them, you know, last minute counseling or last minute instructions or support. That's one of the things that I can think of, that they drug test more often. They switch the room assignments up. I don't know. So, I mean, just weird things like that.
Yeah.
But you just kind of have to... Well, I had to draw from experience thinking how our inmates would have handled a situation like that and, you know, what they would have responded to.
I feel like that's a better way, though. Don't you?
It is, but a lot of people that I work with, they don't have that experience, so they wouldn't, you know, they would have to really rely on the program to come up with those. So it's
good. But you're the person in the program that would come up with those.
Right, because I think that a lot of times people that work in the programs, they're so conditioned to what they do. It's like, you know, everything's just rote. So they get there and they do their notes and they do their group sessions, they do their individual sessions. It's like they just do the same thing over and over, and they don't really think about, they don't have the opportunity, that's the bad part, they don't have the opportunity to think about how things could be changed or improved because they have so much going on.
Yeah. So, okay, so I know this, but since it's an interview.
Right.
Okay, so your work takes up how much of your day and how much of your week and how much of your time?
It takes up a lot of time, and when I'm not there, I'm still checking email, and, you know, when I get home, it takes me a while to kind of unwind, but
yeah.
I love what I do, and it's, you know, it would be
fulfilling.
Hard. It's very fulfilling, and it would be very hard to find something else, I think, you know, that I can think of right now that would be better suited or that I would enjoy more.
Yeah. So, when you hear about my dissatisfaction with my job, how does that make you feel?
Well, it's frustrating because, I mean, I know you've had better work environments and where people have respected your work and where they've, you know, been happy to see you and have been really impressed with what you do and where you are now, that doesn't...
There's a few people that are good.
There are a couple professors that are really... that are good and, you know, that like you a lot and they don't treat you like crap, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just frustrating because I know you have been in other situations that were better and that I have it so good that I just wish that you had that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I almost feel like I'm going to have to create that myself. Like, I don't know if it's out there. Because I'm such a... I mean, do you feel like I'm kind of a... I don't know. I'm not lazy, because I'm always doing stuff.
Right.
But I just have a unique take, I guess, on...
Well, you're different because you don't like to work, and I really like to work.
Well, but I do like to work.
I know, you like to work on certain things.
Yeah.
But you don't have...
It's a different...
Yeah, you don't have the same drive that I do. I mean, I... live to work and you work to live.
But
it's
then
just a different balance.
You know, I feel like I have that drive, but my work, what I care about more is what I'm doing when I'm not on the clock, when I'm doing artwork or like, so what do you think about like, okay, I'm always doing artwork or I'm making a zine or I'm making a podcast or, you know, and obviously none of those things are really going to make money. The artwork I'm doing okay, but like, the zine is never going to make money, and the podcast is never going to make money. And do you wish that I would have done stuff that makes money instead of things like that?
I just want you to find something that makes you happy, and I think that you have done that. You've created your own happiness, and I wish that it would pay you more, because I think that would take some pressure off of you.
Yeah.
But, you know, for right now, I think you have a pretty good situation. You have a lot of freedom at work,
And the benefits are great.
The benefits are amazing, and we really do tend to lose sight of it. Because, you know, I'll hear about people, and they don't have pensions, you know. We're both going to have
pensions.
Can we
just mention that guy had a Playboy bunny tattooed on his face?
What?
Like, his whole cheek? You didn't see that?
I didn't.
Okay, go on.
Okay. So, I mean, we really do have some good things going on at your...
Yeah, no, I know. I get down on it because of the some of the things get pretty emotionally heavy with the way they treat me.
Yeah.
But you know, I try and act the same way with you as I do with them, as I do with anybody, and I try and be open and honest and tell them.
Right.
And some of them are just, you know,
right.
they don't care.
Right.
So you know, my headaches.
Right.
How's that affected us or you or?
You're not able to, well, you've gotten a lot better, but you weren't able to go to shows. You weren't able to really, I don't think you were able to enjoy things as much as you did.
Yeah.
But I think things have gotten better the past couple of months.
And why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. I think you just kind of turned a corner and said, you know, I don't care. I'm just going to do things and I'm just going to enjoy them and I'm going to try and set it aside and just live.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, I'm able to do that a lot. I'm able to, like, change my mind and change my mindset and do things differently. But I also think a lot of it is that I've been using marijuana to treat it.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Like, were you wigged out at first when somebody offered it and I didn't decline?
No. I mean, okay, yes, I was initially, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know about this, like neither of us have ever done anything like that, and but you had tried so many other things and we had gone to so many other doctors that I thought, well, you know, maybe this will help. And it ended up helping a lot, so.
So now you're an advocate?
I'm an advocate, yeah.
Do you think other people should give it a try if they're not opposed? I mean, after seeing how successful it has been for me?
I think that a lot of people abuse it when they go to the dispensaries, and I still don't agree with that, but...
But if they have a real problem...
But if they have a real problem...
If somebody has MS...
Right. I think there are definitely legitimate medical uses for it, and I'm totally, you know,
and
I've seen the benefits of it.
You can see in a day when I take it and when I don't, you can see a difference, right?
Right. I can definitely tell a difference in your mood and, you know, your activity level.
Yeah.
I don't think you act that differently when you take it. I mean, around me, you're just...
But I feel...
Right. You feel more like your old self, I think.
And do you notice that, or is that internal? You notice that I'm more like me when I'm...
I think so. I mean, you've been taking it for a while now, so...
Yeah.
It's just, it's kind of hard to remember what you used to be like, I think. San Diego Trolley.
Okay, we're going to stop again. Say what you're looking up.
I'm looking up I heard a train last night at 2:25 a.m. and it kept blowing its whistle, and so I'm looking up what train it is, and it looks like it's the San Diego and Arizona Expressway, and I can't figure out what it's carrying though. But I guess it does operate on MTS lines.
Does it say how often it runs? Because I have heard it in the past, but I feel like it's been a long time.
It says it just operates once a day, so I think that's just the 2:25.
Every night.
A.M., yeah. And I think that's due to noise restrictions.
I wonder why we haven't heard it before.
I think so I have.
Much.
Well,
I mean,
think...
if it's every night, I think we would hear it every night.
Yeah. Can't figure out anything else about it, but...
Well, where are you headed?
Going to Disneyland for your birthday.
Very excited, are you?
Yes.
What's your favorite ride?
I think I like Big Thunder Mountain a lot right now. I like Space Mountain.
Yeah.
What is yours? Peter Pan?
I love all of them, but yeah, I like Peter Pan a lot. Is that still recording?
So it's still red.
Okay. yeah, I like Peter Pan. I like Big Thunder. I really like the Cars ride in Cars Land. What is it called?
Oh, yeah.
Radiator Springs Racers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But I just love to go there.
Yeah.
Is there something else we were going to talk about? I thought there was. Oh, yeah. So I think a lot of people either, you know, they don't really know you, or they see you on my Instagram and they feel like they know you.
Yeah.
But they don't. So I think that's maybe why you'd be compelling to be on this podcast.
Well, I can see that, but I'm not nearly as interesting as you are.
Oh, it's baloney. Tell people about the first time you met Rob Crow.
Gosh, why don't you tell people it's your favorite story that you tell about me?
No, no, I want to hear you say it.
I just remember the accounts that you've told everybody else at this point, but...
Put your face near the microphone.
I'm pretty sure it's really sensitive.
Okay.
We were at Comic-Con, and it was towards the end of the day, and we were upstairs, and Comic-Con is already... completely overwhelming to me, and you saw him, and he asked if you were going to the show later that night, and I don't remember what you said, but then I guess you said you were going, and then he asked me if I was going, and I said, No, you sing like a pussy. Is that what I said? Or you sound like a pussy?
I don't like your voice.
Oh, I don't like your voice. You sing like a pussy. So
either that or I don't like your music. You sing like a pussy. But
something like that, yeah. Which is completely out of character for me. But for whatever reason, I think I must have just been at the point of, you know, just I was over it.
I think that, I don't think it's completely out of character for you to say it. I think it's out of character for you to say it to the person. But I think that you were kind of in a, some kind of a disconnect because it wasn't, this is Rob Crow, the person in front of you. It was like, this is that guy that I have to put up with when David plays him on the stereo.
Probably.
So you're very picky about music. Rob Crow sings too much like a pussy.
And yeah.
Then, like Rick from Drive Like Jehu screams too much. He's shouting at you.
Right.
So what do you like? What have you been listening to lately?
I like the new Bruno Mars song. I haven't heard anything else off of it, but
that's a Mark Ronson album, so it's only one Bruno Mars song.
Oh, okay. I like songs that have a big beat and a lot of drums.
Well, you're just saying things that I've told you.
But, well, I never was able to identify that about, you know, the type of sound that I liked, so I like...
Yeah, but, I mean, talk about what you like. What do you turn up when you hear it?
I like Taylor Swift, and I know that's annoying.
And I like Taylor Swift.
Not to you, but embarrassing. I like... What else do I like?
Well, I mean, like, your go-tos in the past have been Weezer and Jimmy Eat World, Taylor Swift, Get Up Kids.
Yeah.
You went through a techno phase, like Fatboy Slim and... what do you call it? Crystal Method?
Yeah, that was right when you met me.
But you don't like that stuff so much anymore?
No, but when you put on Crystal Method the other day, I hadn't heard it in like 10 years, and I still liked it.
And then you like, you know, you like all the big hits by like Outkast and...
Yeah.
You know, you like a radio party song.
Yeah, I do.
That's fine. But your big thing is TV, right?
Right.
Love TV?
Love TV. I would always pay my cable bill before anything else.
What are your favorite shows now? Tell me. I know you like Homeland and Scandal.
Yes, I like those a lot. I like Shameless. That just came back on.
Well, that's your favorite one, probably, huh?
I think Homeland's probably my favorite.
Oh, really?
Probably. I like Grey's Anatomy. I started watching How to Get Away with Murder, and that's pretty good.
And The Americans?
The Americans, I've watched 2 episodes, and I think that's really well done.
What are your all-time favorite shows?
Friends, and...
You keep looking at me like I'm going to feed you answers.
Well, yeah, because I can't ever remember things when I'm on the spot.
You.
I know. I liked Law & Order for a really long time, and...
6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under.
We got into Nip Tuck for a while.
Yeah, but then it just got really weird.
Oh,
you
know what? I think I know what your favorite show of all
time.
House.
Oh, no. Sex and the City.
Okay. Is House up there?
House is up there, top 5. I like Top Chef a lot.
So, Friends, Sex and the City, which one's better?
I think...
Is that a tie for first?
I think that's a tie.
So, Friends and Sex and the City are number 1.
Yeah.
Could you come up with 3 more for top 5? You don't have to. I don't care. Anyway.
I could, but not on the spot.
Whoa, look at that traffic.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic.
Is everybody going to Mexico?
Maybe. We're going to celebrate your birthday. They all think you're down there.
Oh, well, fools. They should know Disneyland.
I know.
How do you like going to Disneyland so much?
I like it a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do, but Disney World is always... you know, 100 times better for me, but...
Do you feel like I have a lot more energy than you do in general?
Yes.
Does that
But, well, I don't know. Yes and no. I have more energy to keep doing things, I think.
You have more focus.
I have more focus. But... What?
Nothing.
more focus.
You can finish projects.
Yeah, I do that.
Like going and doing stuff all the time like I am.
Yeah, but I think we just have different priorities.
Yeah. I'm just really afraid you're going to hit this button and that's the record button.
Aren't we supposed to be recording?
Yeah, but if you hit it, it'll turn it off.
Oh. I'm not
gonna... Just from the way you're holding it.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to touch it now.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about? It's going to be a very short podcast. I thought people would want to get to know you.
Tell me about you. People should write in and ask me questions.
Tell me about where you grew up.
I was born in Los Gatos, which is near San Jose. And we lived there until I was probably 5 or 6. And then we moved to Portland, Oregon. We lived there for a few years. Then we moved to Middletown, Connecticut.
What was that like? How old were you?
I was in 4th grade, so I was 8. We only lived there 1 year.
Well, it's funny because I hear you talk about Portland more than I hear you talk about Connecticut. And you were younger in Portland. But
yeah.
I feel like you remember more of Portland than you do of Connecticut. Or was there just really nothing going on in Connecticut?
There wasn't a lot going on in Connecticut. And I think that I loved Portland so much and I had so many good friends and experiences, and I think it was traumatic for me in a way, you know, to take me away from that.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to adjust, and I think it probably takes, I don't know, it sounds weird, but I think it takes more than a year to get settled somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand that with like a job, so I guess that would be kind of the same thing with school or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really remember any 1 year of school better than I remember another, so I think 4th grade is just kind of there, but everybody takes state history in 4th grade, and
yeah,
everybody else I know knows about California. And I know about Connecticut history. I mean, not anymore, but I had to take, you know, Connecticut history, and we went to visit Indian sites and whatever else is going on back there. But
yeah.
So I don't know anything about California history, but it's okay.
What do you wish we would do? Do you have any big plans? Like, okay, one thing we talked about really quickly earlier was... we don't want to have kids.
Right.
Are you 100% you don't want to have a kid?
Yeah. The only reason I would want to have a kid is so when everybody else... You know, this is very sensitive.
No, look at that, has levels. See? And
okay.
I can tell you're
right.
Talking quieter than this.
All right. I just feel like it's so sensitive because you can hear the doors open and close.
I know, but it shows how loud you're being.
Okay. The only reason I would want to have kids is because when all of our other family is gone, I don't know who's going to take care of us. And it's going to be, yeah, it'll be very depressing when we don't have anybody left. But that's not a reason to have a kid now, because thinking about having a kid just terrifies me, and it doesn't feel right for me.
I feel like we're too selfish.
Yeah,
kids.
Yeah. I think if we were going to have them, we would have had them a while ago.
Yeah.
Because now we're so set in our ways, and we've been together for, you know, 16 years. And
well,
we've been doing what we want to do for 16 years.
Yeah.
And
but I wouldn't say we're set in our ways, because I feel like we change more often than any other people I know. Like, I feel like, you know, how I was a collector of everything for so long, and now I'm getting rid of everything. You know, I guess I do always go through those phases, but never like I have now.
What I mean by set in our ways is we're used to doing things when we want to do them without having to, you know, worry about anybody else besides ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we change as people, but I just meant, you know, overall.
Yeah. Well, yeah, kids
are all-consuming. They just,
that's
you
the rest
know.
Of your life.
Yeah.
And you can't... You can kind of try and show them things, but you can't make them do whatever you want or anything you want, obviously. Look at us.
Right.
We didn't do anything our parents wanted for a long time. I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's in most people's plans. I think it's in the majority of people's plans, but I think it's interesting because a lot of our friends, well, I think a lot of my friends seem not to be having kids now. I mean, there's a couple.
Like all your friends have kids.
All my San Jose friends have kids. But there are some here that have decided not to for whatever reason, and it might be for now, or it might be, you know, permanently.
Yeah. Well, I understand the arguments for and against. I don't know, I feel like, you know, we're not equipped to take care of a child, and we're not willing to make the sacrifices we would have to be equipped.
Right. I agree.
So, and, you know, that's why we make friends with so many people. So hopefully somebody will still love us when we're old and it's Christmas.
Right. Well, you know, when you and Randy are gone, Angie and I are going to live in a house together and we're going to play bingo every day.
I like that you assume that Randy and I will die before you.
Well, I'm just saying statistically men die before women, thanks, unfortunately.
And rub in that I'm old now. Today's my birthday.
I wasn't even thinking about that you're almost 5 years older than me.
Yeah, ancient. I don't know what I was going to say. Do you have any questions for me? You know everything, huh?
I know everything.
Alright, well, something
you're
that you
a pretty
know will be
open
good,
book. So.
Yeah, if you know something that'll be good for me to talk about.
Well, if you could do any job in the world, what would it be?
If I could do any job in the world, I really would like to be a talk show host, a TV show. And it would be, I mean, like, I really like Jimmy Fallon, but it wouldn't be like that. It'd be, I guess, somewhat structured like that in so much as it's a talk show. But maybe it would be like Jimmy Fallon. There'd be little skits. But there'd be a lot more weird creative stuff like Pee-wee's Playhouse, like, you know, like there would be cartoons, there would be a lot more music. Like, Jimmy Fallon's a pretty good, like, starting place for where I would like to do. But that way I could incorporate all my art, my creativity, I could talk to friends, I could have bands on. You know, I feel like that would be, like, my ultimate thing is to have a show. Always different, always evolving, and I can make it whatever I want.
Yeah, I can definitely see you doing that.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon just seems so approachable and like anybody could be his best friend, you know, and I think you have that same quality.
Yeah, I like that a lot about him.
I feel like David Letterman, I mean, I like David Letterman, but I feel like he wouldn't be so, you know, friendly in real life.
I agree. But he doesn't even come off that friendly in his show.
That's true. He's just not fooling anybody.
Yeah. But he's funny, and that's all he needed to be.
For sure.
My mom hated David Letterman.
Oh, really?
Hated him. But you remember, well, you don't remember, but that's the thing. You don't remember the very early David Letterman was more like Jackass. Like, he was always destroying things for comedic value. And,
huh.
Yeah, it was not really so much what he became in his later life, which is still fine and still funny, but it's just different.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, well,
I guess let's take a break, and if we think of anything else.
Or we can just stop it, because I feel like you're way more clammed up today than you were. So, well, this will be the last episode of 40 Days Till 40, because today's the day.
That's right. What are you going to do next?
Okay. So I think I want to change. Do you want to stop at the rest stop?
I don't.
Okay. I think I'm going to change the podcast name, and it's going to be called Friends of Friends with McHank. And one of my friends offered me this thing for my birthday that I'm not going to get into, but it was a very generous offer, and we didn't take it. One thing I would like to do, if maybe I could get a bunch of friends in on it or something, is to make a website, Friends of Friends with McHank. My friend Rob Larkins said he would help me with web design and building the site, and that could host my podcast, my art, my photography. photography, everything, all the weird things that I do anyways, put them all on one site, because I have McHank.com, but I haven't updated in like 3 years, 2 years at least.
Right.
So, if that could host everything, and, you know, if I could have a couple friends go in together on that site and give me that, and, you know, have it up and running, that would be the greatest birthday present. I know that's asking for a lot, but...
Would you be able to keep the domain name?
Yeah, yeah. Rob knows how to do all that. He's been helping me learn, because I don't know. But, yeah, that would be cool. And then, yeah, if it was like Friends of McHank or friendsoffriendsofmchank.com, I don't care, something along those lines, and then I'd have the podcast right there, and I wouldn't have to worry about the Podomatic, which hasn't worked out so well for me
right. For
hosting. And then,
Even though you're number 9 on the charts this week.
I don't think I'm number 9 on their entire chart. I think that's my category. Because they don't have a talk show chart. They have arts. So I'm in arts. And that was luck.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
No, it's awesome. I'm not complaining. But I think it's because I'm saturating it so much that if somebody only has to listen to one of the 15 or 17 or however many episodes there ended up being of this.
Yeah.
For it to go higher, you know, so.
Well, I think it's been a great idea that you started this, and it's great that you're going to continue it after you turn 40.
Yeah, I'm happy that I did. Did you see that guy at the Pennsylvania license plate staring at us?
Not really.
I guess I'd stare at people if I drove all the way across the country.
Well, also, it's weird that I'm holding a big microphone. Looks like we're famous or something.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't think of that. So... Well, thanks. I'm glad I started it, too. You haven't listened to any of them, have you?
I haven't.
Are you interested at all?
Yeah.
You're not a podcast person.
I'm not really a podcast person. I've only ever listened to Serial.
It ends up that we talk about music a lot, but I didn't have that plan, you know? And Gabe Serbian had the greatest idea. He said I should call it Eavesdropping with McHank, but there's already a couple podcasts called that.
Hmm.
But I like that feeling, you know, where it's just like you're listening in on people talking and being friends, and they just happen to be interesting, you know. That's what I wanted to create with this podcast because of Marc Maron. And I told this story on here before, but I haven't told you, but there's a Marc Maron one with this guy Jack Antonoff, and I didn't know the name, so it was one of those where I was like, oh, I'll listen to that someday, maybe, I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
And Nick Friesen told me, yo, you got to listen to that Jack Antonoff episode. And he said, I wasn't a fan, but once I heard it, I liked the guy, you know? And so I was thinking he was like this 70-year-old Hollywood producer type guy.
Yeah.
He's from that band Fun, and he goes out with Lena Dunham from Girls.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it.
Well, it turns out he's super interesting. There's a big Great Dane.
Oh.
And his lip is flapping like...
Birdle.
And we call that...
His Birdle.
Why?
Because if they have... Because I don't know how to explain it, but...
If they have top lip, you want to grab it and go Birdle.
Right.
That's yours.
That is mine.
That's a Kristenism.
It's a Kristenese. Yep.
Oh, hey, you know what I want to talk about before we close it up? Because I want to talk more about you, because it's your episode.
Okay.
Your granddaddy.
Yeah.
Talk about him. What's his name? Where is he from? Everything. Tell me everything you know.
His name is Bob Longdon, and he was my mom's father. And
when was he born? When did he die?
He was born in February of 1919, and he was born in Pennsylvania, and he died, I think, in
2001,
and he died, I think, on his birthday or the day before his birthday. It was very close, and he was just great. He had all kinds of weird sayings, like, Birdles and...
Did he make that up?
No, I made that up, but...
What did he make up?
Well...
What do your parents always say?
When he would say goodbye to his kids or his wife, he would always say, gee, like, just means bye, you know. So my mom and my aunt still say gi to each other.
Remember, we had cats named Walter and Mabel. Remember when he called them?
Right. He would call Mabel Mercury. He would call Walter...
He'd kind of mix them all up, and there was Mercury and Quicksilver and Myrtle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't remember what he called Walter so much, but...
Mercury. I think he was Mercury.
I think that was Mabel.
No, I think she was Myrtle.
Oh, okay.
I think he was Mercury and Myrtle.
Okay. He had a little bit of an accent. It was a little bit of a southern accent almost, but...
kind of put it on almost.
Yeah, but it was... I mean, because people from Pennsylvania have a certain accent, but he didn't have that accent. Like, when I think of people from Pennsylvania, I think they sound like Bam Margera, you know?
He does not
sound like Bam Margera, but Bam was from... I think he's from Philadelphia, and I get maybe that's a different...
Well, who cares? Anyway, so anybody else in your family you want to talk about?
Well, Granddaddy was very creative, and he made me lots of great things that I still have, and he made me a little stool, and it says Kristen Step Up, and it has little bunnies and flowers on it.
And he painted it.
And he painted it, and he did needlework, and we have some of those in our bathroom. My grandmother did that also, but just very neat person. He was very loving, and he loved you, and he was great.
I remember for Christmas, he would give me very practical gifts, like a orange safety vest or a
that's right.
flashlight that was hand crank, so you didn't need a battery.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely a character.
Yeah. Do you have anybody else in your family that's interesting that you should talk about?
I think everybody's interesting in my family, but...
That would be interesting to talk about.
He's probably got the most interesting, you know, background. He was in the armed forces. I think he was in the army. And
yeah, he was Burma.
He was like a medic or something.
He was part of the mission to Burma, the mission of Burma.
I think so.
Yeah.
And... he was just very interesting, and of course I can't think of any better examples than what I just said, but my aunt is very interesting.
She's a character.
She's definitely a character. She is a nurse, and she went to Bosnia, and she worked over there for a little while in her adult life. She's been to Israel several times. She converted to Judaism. Because she married my uncle, and she's just
president.
I don't know if she's still president. She was president of Hadassah, which is the women's Jewish organization. I think in the Santa Barbara chapter she was president, and then maybe when she moved to Columbus she was president or very high up for that chapter as well. But
what did your parents do when you were growing up?
My dad has always worked in software, and he was the manager of the test department. So after, you know, the software had all gone through development and everything, he was, I think, in quality assurance, quality management.
Did he work for IBM or Apple or what?
He never worked for Apple. He does not like Apple products.
But he does know Tim Cook.
He does know Tim Cook.
Probably not so well anymore.
I don't think anymore, no. But he worked for lots of companies growing up, and that's why we moved so much.
Didn't your dad hire Tim Cook for a job?
I don't remember the story as well as you do.
We gotta ask him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be on a future podcast.
He probably would do that.
Yeah.
And my mom didn't work for a long time because they wanted to have me for over 10 years. And then
she was a school teacher before you.
Right, she was a school teacher before I was born, and then I was born, and she didn't work, and then she went back to school, I think when I was in fifth or sixth grade, and she was a school secretary, and then she worked at a church office. She was secretary there, office manager, and now she's semi-retired, and she works for a medical staffing company that staffs X-ray techs.
Yeah.
Or ultrasound techs, not x-ray. But it's a very small business, and she works very part-time from her home. She's got a good gig, though.
Yeah.
She's just on call all the time, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's at her house. So, what did your parents do?
My mom, my parents were very secretive, and my mom and dad got divorced when I was young. And I only know the very smallest details about what they did. My dad worked for the Army, so he was in the Army when he was young. And he went to Korea, but not during the war, like after the Korean War. And I've kind of pieced a lot of this together from different accounts from different people, because he rarely ever told me anything. But I know he went to Korea, and I know his job in the Army was fixing televisions, radios, and any kind of electronic like that. He had really bad rheumatoid arthritis his whole life, and it was exacerbated when he was in the Army because he would have to be outside in freezing cold temperatures fixing things. And, you know, if he was... I remember he told me about a time when he was screwing a tank back together with, ratcheting...
Wrench,
or... yeah. He was screwing a tank back together, and he kept... Every time he would turn the ratchet... would bang his knuckles, which were already in pain.
Ugh.
He would bang his knuckles on this frozen tank, and I know he always said that made it worse. So, but that's not what he did for a living. I mean, he worked for the Army after he got out, and for a while he worked for IBM in the Bay Area. And I don't know how he met my mom, and they're both so gone, so they've been dead so long that it's I can't ask them.
Right.
My mom may have worked for IBM at the same time. That may be how they met. She worked all kinds of jobs. The only one I remember when I was a kid, she did some bookkeeping at different people's houses. But the only like job I remember her having was at... she was yard duty at my sister's school. And she would, you know... people tickets if they were misbehaving. But she had a real job, and I can't remember the name of the company.
Like, write kids tickets?
Yeah, you know, like if you
I never had
fight or whatever, you didn't freeze when the bell rang, all those stupid things.
I never...
Yeah.
I don't think we had that at my school.
And she worked, I can't remember the name, but it was a food company in San Jose. And I remember she would bring home, you know those club crackers, the Keebler club crackers?
Yeah.
I think she worked in like a restaurant supply, like a Sysco type of thing, where they would supply like the little crackers to Denny's.
Oh, okay.
And I just remember bringing little packets of crackers or cookies or different things home with her from work.
Huh.
So, but my memories of my parents are getting more and more eroded.
Yeah.
I get older. And then my sister Judy was she got a degree at Santa Clara University in theater, in costume design. And as soon as she got out of college, she worked at McDonald's for about a year and really didn't seem to want to use her degree at all. Like, it wasn't even that she was trying and failing. It was that she did not even want to do it. She just got a degree. And then later on she got a certificate to be a coder, which I don't know if that even is the same as what coding is these days. That seems to be a very popular job, because I don't even know what coding is.
I think she was like a medical coder. I remember her email address was certifiedcoder@whatever.com.
Yeah. Well, so she was really big into that. So, yeah, but I mean, she's been gone for 15 years. It's crazy. I've outlived, you know, she only lived to be 29 and I'm 40.
Wow.
It doesn't feel like, it still feels like she's older than me.
Yeah. I'd forgotten she was that young.
Yeah. And so my mom died. She was 51 and my dad was 59. So I got 19 years to go, and then I will have outlived everybody in my immediate family's lifespans.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I had the opportunity to meet Judy a number of times, but I didn't ever meet any of
talked on either the phone once to my dad.
Yeah, either of your parents I never met. And yeah, just the one time when I was planning a surprise party for you for your 30th birthday, I think. Or was it your 25th?
No, it had to be 25th.
It's
way back.
Yeah. And yeah, I sent him an invitation to be, you know, polite and just let him know that I was having a party for you.
Yeah.
And he called you and he said, she's planning a party for you. I just don't want her to pull a fast one on you or something like that.
I think someone's trying to pull one over on you.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, so his dad ruined the surprise, but that's okay. He was looking out for you.
He was a weirdo.
He was. That was weird. I was like, well, you know, what's the downside of me having a surprise
so,
party?
Okay, well, let's talk about birthdays and surprises and stuff. This year, I told Kristen, she said, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, well, it's a big one. And she's like, yeah, what do you want to do? And so I said, well, as long as you can blindfold me, drive me somewhere, as long as there's friends there and music playing, I'll be happy. So you have something planned, right?
I have something planned.
And I don't know anything except for I know it's this coming weekend.
Right.
And I know a few of the people you've been working with, but that's it.
Right.
I gave you full access to all my contacts. Have people been helpful?
A couple people have been very helpful and, you know, asked if they could do anything. A lot of people just didn't even respond, though, when I sent the text message.
They're all going to listen to this now.
I know. So I invited you all. That's fine. I invited everyone, but I got maybe a, I don't know, maybe a 35% response rate.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so, but.
So something's happening.
Something's happening. I have no idea how many people are going to be there, but, you know.
Well, I'm excited. I have all kinds of ideas in my head about what it could be.
Well, I'll be interested to hear what those are after it happens.
Oh, you don't want to hear my guesses?
Well, sure.
Well, so I had like almost a dream, but kind of a vision that I would show up at Soda Bar and like White Murder and Mrs. Magician would be playing and all my friends would be there. And it would be a matinee show or an early show, so I wouldn't have to stay up too late. So that was one thing that kind of just popped in my head. And then I was like, oh, you know, maybe she got like Drive Like Jehu because they're playing again. And I was like, well, okay, let's be realistic. And then I was like, well, you know, if she's going to have Drive Like Jehu, why wouldn't she have Fugazi? Because I've been talking to them lately. I mean, so, but I don't think Fugazi or Drive Like Jehu.
Unfortunately, I was not able to get either of those.
Did you try?
I did try.
Really? Who did you call? Or?
I'm not going to tell you anything. But
you did try both those bands?
No, I didn't try both of those bands.
Okay.
But I tried. No, actually, Jacob tried.
Well, don't tell me too much.
No.
But you tried some stuff that didn't work.
I tried a few things that didn't work, and so something else is going
to
happen.
In a future episode, we'll have to reveal what that is, because, you know, Simon Leder listens to all of these. Does he know what's going on? Does he know about the plan?
Yes, Simon
knows. Well, he doesn't need to even know now, so.
Right.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think that's the podcast, then.
All right.
You feel good?
Yeah.
Okay. I love you.
I love you, too. Okay, happy birthday.
Thanks, love you, bye. So that was the last episode of 40 Days Till 40, but I'm going to return, and it's going to be called Friends of Friends with McHank, and it's in the planning stages right now, and I'm being helped make a website, and I want you to be on it, and the deal will be with Friends of Friends that it's going to be somebody I know, and they get to invite anybody they want, and then all three of us will talk. And probably not too many on the phone just because of sound quality issues, but if you want to be involved and you're in Southern California or I'm traveling near you, get in touch. Okay, here is Danny from Phenomena covering Phil Collins' Take Me Home, and it was my request for my 40th birthday to have my friends make Genesis covers, and three people did, and he was one of them. So here you go.
ordinary life, working when it's daylight, sleeping when it's night.